Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. We begin this segment in Iran. There, over the last 24 hours, have been no shortage of pictures of violence from the streets of Tehran or sounds like this. Demonstrators from protests yesterday on the streets of Tehran. Hundreds of thousands of people from across Iranian society poured into the streets to protest what they charge were fraudulent results in last week's presidential vote. Iran has seen the largest demonstrations inside the country since the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Today, Iran's Guardian Council says it is recounting the votes in Friday's deeply divisive elections. That's according to state television. And the repercussions are far and wide. Here you have Iranian Americans in Washington, D.C., singing in solidarity with fellow protesters on the streets of Tehran. Joining us now is Jonathan Marcus, BBC's diplomatic correspondent. He's joining us from our partners, the BBC, in London. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
And the reaction is far and wide. You've got protesters, like you just heard, on the streets of Washington here in the United States. Iranians all over the world are really focused on this, but also in the diplomatic world, there's a lot of countries that are poised as to how to respond. What are you seeing as a pattern?
I think the pattern can be summed up in one word: caution. Everybody is watching very, very closely what is happening in not just in Tehran, but as far as they can get information elsewhere in Iran. But nobody wants to be seen to be intervening one way or another. I think President Barack Obama himself has very much set the tone. It's a concern about violence. It's a concern that the views of the Iranian people should be heard. But nobody wants to be seen, you know, to be backing one side or another. It's something that the British Foreign Secretary earlier today in an interview with the BBC made very clear, David Miliband. He said that nobody should fall into the trap of being seen to back one side or another. This isn't a pro-West versus anti-West competition in Iran. It's a competition, he said, to reflect the will of the Iranian people. And I think we have to hold fast to that point. And I think that sums up rather well, broadly speaking, the wide swathe of diplomatic reaction.
Indeed, gauging the will of the Iranian people is really the key there. Director of the Iranian Institute at the University of St. Andrews is Ali Ansari, who also joins us. So, Ali, good morning.
Good morning.
How would you gauge the will of the Iranian people as the outcome of this election seems very much in doubt this morning?
Well, I mean, the size of the crowds has been quite extraordinary, but also the range and breadth of the protests have also shown the sort of the level of the frustration, I think, in the Iranian population at large. And I think this election and the way it's been run, I mean, I think this is the anger at the process in which it's been managed, I think has just unleashed all sorts of underlying discontent, which has now come out. And of course, it's reflected also in a strong division in the leadership. So I think this is what's quite different about what's happening now, that not only do you have mass protest, but you have really quite serious divisions in the elite.
But you've also got some very curious contradictory phenomena going on. And Ali, I wonder if you could decode them for me. On the one hand, the Guardian Council says it's literally going to recount the votes in the deeply divisive elections, picking certain precincts. I don't think it's going to be a total recount. Yet Ahmadinejad, the nominal winner of the election, is in Russia, suggesting that he has confidence that this is all going to turn out in his favor.
Well, of course, Ahmadinejad is still technically president, you see. I mean, the new president wouldn't be inaugurated till August, so he still has to function in that role, although one would suggest that perhaps he might want to pay more attention to what's going on domestically than going off abroad, but obviously he's performing his duties as he sees it as president. I think the Guardian Council, I mean, we do have to bear this in mind, and I mean, most people in Iran will be aware of this, that the secretary of the Guardian Council, Ayatollah Janati, already has made his prejudice is clear. He said right before the election that he favours Ahmadinejad. So nobody has any doubts as to the objectivity of the Guardian Council. But I think quite clearly what they want to do is to try and calm the situation, put this into a sort of a legal process as they see it, and really get the crowds off the streets. That's what they want to try and do. And I think people will be aware that there's a certain sort of, there's a two-track game going on here, that, you know, their main task at the moment is to get people off the streets, restore order, and sort of channel the criticism through various bodies, which, of course, I think even the opposition politicians, I mean, and we say use opposition very loosely here because they're all establishment figures, will also be aware that the Guardian Council, perhaps, at the end of the day, while it's a route, is not the perfect route.
All right. Well, you know, even though the people may leave the streets, the echoes of protest are very much in evidence online in media coming out of Tehran and echoing around the world. Jonathan first and then Ali before we go. What is the sense that even Western governments are paying attention to Twitter feeds and media feeds online that the Iranians haven't been able to suppress as a way of following what's going on inside the country?
Well, it's in a very important source for all of us to try and follow what's going on inside the country. And I think it shows how, you know, all of these new media clearly change in some ways the political interactions when you have dramatic events like this. But I think the clear thing that people are waiting for is to see how this ends. You know, what impact is going to have on the way Iran is governed? How will the balance within the country's ruling elite change, if at all? And of course, the crucial question for the outside world, what's it going to mean for the way Iran conducts its relations with the outside world?
Well, Ali, before we go then, what is the state of this social media in Iran right now? There was some folksy coverage of Facebook pages favoring Mousavi during the election. It's gotten a lot more serious, hasn't it?
Well, I think this is one that must be one of the first social protest movements, whatever, that's been really conducted very vigorously on the internet, and each side is almost trying to hack into the other side's websites. And I found it quite interesting to see that some of the government websites have also been down because the opposition have been working on that. I mean, it has been quite remarkable, and it's created a certain cohesion to this protest movement, not just in Iran, but also beyond its borders. So, I mean, I've been receiving email galore, really, from all sorts, and it's almost like a real-time account of what's going on, with all sorts of questions being asked, you know, how accurate is the information? You know, are they being fed misinformation, so on and so forth. So it's been quite interesting how they've tried to keep one step ahead of the authorities. And it does show, really, that, you know, this movement and those who are that work on the internet and others are not simply just part of some sort of North Tehran elite.
No, it's historic for that reason alone. I wish I was reading your email inbox rather than the New York Times this morning. Ali Ansari, director of the Iranian Institute at the University of St. Andrews, and Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent. Thanks so much to both of you.